As Senator Avella just mentioned, if the Climate and Community Protection Act passes, it would enshrine in statute New York's aggressive efforts to reduce greenhouse gases. A new report indicates that even if the CCPA doesn't become law, though, the state really needs to boost funding in clean energy. The report comes out of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Joining me is the author of the study and co-director of the Institute. I get paid to talk. You know that, right? Dr. Robert Pollan is a distinguished professor of economics at UMass. Great to see you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we have Jessica Wisniewski here. She's the deputy director at Citizen Action of New York. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Susan.
So I think that we should just start with Dr. Pollan. Give us sort of the broad strokes. What does your report say?
The report says that the state of New York has made significant progress in fighting climate change and reducing CO2 emissions, but nowhere near where the state should be, and in fact, nowhere near where the state claims it wants to get to, including the governor. But what I show in the study with my co-authors, Heidi Garrett-Peltier and Jeanette Wicks-Lim, is there is a clear path through investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency. We can get to the goals that the state has set and even somewhat beyond, meaning reducing emissions in the range of 50% by 2030. In doing that, we'll create about 150,000 new jobs per year in the state. Now, we need to have this project financed. The polluter fee is the basis on which we discourage consumption of fossil fuel energy, but encourage investments in green energy.
So let me just move to Jessica for a second for the political reinterpretation. So when we talk about this carbon fee, this is a tax. This is the carbon adder that NYSERDA and the NYISO were talking about a few months ago that we're contemplating here in New York.
This would go even bigger and bolder, a fee on polluters for New York, and take that huge amount that could be raised and invest it partially as a rebate back to consumers, mm-hmm. in case there's any cost increase, minor cost increase, they would be taken care of and there would be no increase. There would end up actually being savings for consumers as we invest in clean energy. And the biggest part of this study that of course makes us very excited, and every elected official in New York should be excited, is 150,000 new clean energy jobs and support jobs every year.
Yeah, year was intriguing. But the $4 billion to $5.5 billion in revenue that needs to be generated is also intriguing, concerning. Okay, it's a lot of money, Dr. Pollan.
Yeah. Well, look, what our study shows is that if you can generate that, and I think you can generate in the range of $7 billion on average per year through this polluter fee at the rate that we're looking at, and then we send back into the economy through new investments in the range of $5 billion, and then we rebate $2 billion. And look, the consumer is going to come out fine because renewable energy costs are already at cost parity and they're coming down. They'll be cheaper than fossil fuels. And we're also investing in energy efficiency so that for people to drive their cars or to heat their homes, it's going to be a lot cheaper when they raise the efficiency standard. And the governor's project is precisely to give these opportunities to consumers.
This is also a report that deals with something called just transition policies. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the issue here is that there are about 13,000 people, I guess, in New York that work in 9 different industries that are considered polluting. And where would those people go?
I'm impressed that you know that much from my report. So look, when you break it down, there's 13,000 total. What we're talking about by 2030 is reducing by 40%, not 100%. We're going to lose 40% of the jobs. Now, what we do in the study is we say, okay, let's look at those 5,500 jobs. Now, over the course of 10 years, so that's 500 jobs lost per year. But most of those people we show are going to be hitting 65 in retirement age.
So you think attrition is going to be part of this?
Most of it. We're looking at less than 100 people per year that I think are going to be actively displaced. And come on, we can find good jobs for 100 people a year.
So do these jobs include, for example, the nuclear power plant workers up around Lake Ontario?
No. In the case of nuclear, what we're saying is we're freezing the level of nuclear, or we're letting the attrition proceed as it is now. And with the big hydro, we're also freezing that. So the growth in energy is going to come in solar, wind, geothermal, and the contraction is going to be fossil fuels.
The other, I want to make another point on just transition, because we're also talking about a just transition for environmental justice communities, predominantly African American, people of color, low income communities that feel the brunt of climate injustice happening right now. I think no more than just a half mile down the road at Albany South End, where the build out of the fossil fuel industry is creating asthma and health risks for the children who live there. And underemployment is at huge rates. This kind of program, where just transition also includes making sure more people of color, more women are coming into the industry at a very high level, is a critical investment that must be made in New York State.
So I was going to ask you about this. The kinds of jobs that could help poor and minority communities in New York may need to also have some workplace development, job
Absolutely.
Development. Okay, so tell me about how that's going to happen.
I mean, the truth is that the jobs, if we look at the jobs in the fossil fuel industry now, and if we look at most of the jobs that are going to get created through the clean energy investments, as we show in the study, they tend to be jobs that are mainly occupied by white males at present. So we do need affirmative action. We do need a just transition to open up these jobs. Unions have to play an important part in this. But also, you know, when we're subsidizing employment, we have to show that the employers are meeting these standards for creating opportunities for minorities and women.
So politically, this is going to be a heavy lift.
No way, man.
Is that what you're saying to me?
We have a governor who is already very ambitious in his rhetoric, has put out these goals already. Now we have to actually meet these goals, and they're not being met now. This paper is the roadmap to actually meeting those goals. We have, the big wigs are meeting in Bonn right now, right?
This is at that UN climate summit.
No better. We know Washington is running the opposite direction, making sure coal gets its play, right? We need a governor like Andrew Cuomo to be actually implementing the things that will meet the goals and then also creating 150,000 new jobs each year. That sounds to me like this is made for Governor Andrew Cuomo.
All right, so
and we like to see what he does with it.
He has been on the forefront of climate issues, absolutely, along with Governor Brown out in California, okay? But there has been some question regarding his commitment to addressing natural gas infrastructure. Who wants to take this?
Well, I want to speak more generally. I have a lot of respect for what Cuomo has committed to and what he says. He has not met his own goals. Let's be straightforward here. They had a goal by 2015 to have 29% renewable energy from electricity. We failed to meet that goal. Now the goal of Governor Cuomo is 50% by 2030. That's only 12 years
right,
from
it's not
now.
That far away.
If he's serious, everyone here has to force him to engage in really serious project that will succeed. It is doable, but it can't just be rhetoric.
You've heard me say this before, Susan, right? A lot of talk. Where's the action? Where's the evidence that we're actually meeting the goals? I know Governor Cuomo can talk the game. The question is, can he actually make it happen? And he's got to prove it this year more than any other year if he is looking to higher hopes.
So what What are you looking for the legislature to do? Do you have legislation that will sort of implement all of this?
So we are, of course, very supportive of the Climate Community Protection Act that puts into law what Governor Cuomo has set forth, but actually puts it in law.
And you don't want Senator Avella to mess with it?
No, we like the assembly version. We'll see what happens come legislative session, but we certainly will be pushing that. And then we're in talks with the governor's office. The coalition, New York Renews, has been talking to the governor's office about this, you know, about these findings. And can we get something together for the executive budget? Will Governor Cuomo come to in January and say, this is not just my ambitious rhetoric, this is my actual plan to get it done?
So this is going to require some action by corporate climate polluters, okay? Who is going to have to do the heavy lifting here?
Who's going to pay the fee?
Yeah,
well, The way that it is designed is that the fee will be on the wholesale providers, meaning the fossil fuel companies, the utilities, and so forth.
I think we have like a coal plant in New York or two, so that it would be on them, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
But look, realistically, it will be passed down to consumers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is why the rebate is a critical part of the investment.
Will consumers, I'm sorry, I'm asking a question on top of a question, but you know, if we go to the pump, are we going to spend 35 cents more?
Yes, but you're also, if you drive a more efficient car, you will be spending less. So we are promoting energy efficiency as a critical feature. Homes, cars are going to be subsidized to become more efficient. On top of that, to the degree in homes that we're buying renewable energy, it'll be cheaper. There's no fee on renewable energy. So that's the point. The consumer will not see cost increases if we take this plan seriously.
Here's the bottom line, Susan. Everybody's going to get scared, right? Except for if you actually know the answers, there's no reason to be afraid. And on top of it, if we don't do, we are killing the planet, right? Like, that's pretty obvious. I look at my children every day after I read this report through, and I look at my kids and say, what on earth are we doing, right? We have got to make this commitment and make this transition.
I think that intellectually, people are on board. At least my listeners are on board with that.
The polling shows they are.
Okay.
For sure.
It's the operationality of it that, you know, I have a budget of so much per week that I spend that's all mapped out, and now I have to spend 35
no,
cents
you
more.
Won't. No.
Okay, talk
no,
to me about how I'm
you
wrong.
Will not. Purchasing fossil a given amount of gasoline at the pump will cost more. But we are promoting high efficiency cars, so you will have have to fill up your tank less because you'll have
have a car like that.
And if you don't, and we also promote public transportation on top of that.
Sure.
And then this is critical to generate a kilowatt of electricity from wind power. Is cheaper now than coal, is cheaper now than natural gas. So we need to do this transition to save money. Forget about saving. Let's say you don't care about saving the planet. We can get cheaper electricity now. And, you know, if the governor is saying 50% renewable in 12 years, hey, we've got to get moving on this.
Yeah? So let's say everybody's on board and this goes through and this legislation, you get people behind it. Jess, that's $7 billion is a lot of money. And you know we're going into an election year, and you know we already have at least a $4.4 billion deficit. And we're going to have E.J. McMahon on in a minute who's going to say it's more than that. What makes you think that they're not going to tap that the way they tap, you know, the Environmental Protection Fund?
We would argue it's holistic legislation. You can't just take piece of it, right? I'm happy to come on the show and talk about taxes and what we need to do to make more progressive tax structure in New York and all the ways we can fill that budget gap, right? And what Congress needs to be doing in the next few weeks to make sure it doesn't get bigger. But for this, I want to remind you, it's a corporate climate polluter penalty, right? The bad guys, the oil and gas industry, those banking off of extracting fossil fuels are the ones who are going to be having the fee put on them. if there's any even slight feel to consumers, that's going to be rebated so they don't feel anything and start saving money when we invest the other half into real renewables and real jobs.
Where can people read this report?
It's online at our institute, Political Economy Research Institute. Just type that in. Or my name, Robert Polin.
P-O-L-L-I-N.
That's it.
Distinguished Professor of Economics at UMass, Jess Wisniewski, is with Citizen Action. Thank you both.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks very much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.